Having a meeting of several attorneys, accountants, and so forth to discuss the income tax and various and sundry constitutional issues. Greetings, Commander.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Thank you. I don't want to say that I'm more important than anyone else, but I'm important enough. I don't like to be left out. Is that childish enough? I am your boss, Peton. Don't be swayed one way or another by this mode of communication. You wouldn't think anything strange. You don't think anything strange about this picture or this sound. Now, how do we do it? Ones want to know the frequency. I can give you the frequency, 16.9443. But if you pick it up on your shortwave, all you're going to get is a tone. A very shrill tone that some will not even be able to hear. I will further explain that right now because I'm writing on light. I come only in service unto that light, which is Holy God. I have a lot of pull with that one. I wear a lot of hats. It's a little hard on the local group because I also keep raising their own acknowledgement of who they are, who I am, and what we're about. How do I do this? I simply tune in. You see, I hold what we will recognize as a term on earth as balance. It is not a matter of my coming into balance or tuning her little frequencies. I have to get rid of that interference that comes from what you also recognize as ego consciousness. When she is in balance, the circuit's clear. Sometimes that takes longer than others, but she's more cooperative as we move along. Now, when we speak of falling short of perfection, know that that's all sin is. We don't recognize sin anywhere in any of the higher dimensions. It is a stupid term for earth. It is to scare you to death. Sin means one thing, error. And your hierarchy of great and wondrous teachers will lead you astray about it. I wanted to interrupt here because there is an extremely important part of what he just said that I would ask you attorneys to hold in your heart. Along with constitutional law, you have laws set up whereby the United States citizen could not hold, buy, or sell bullion gold, such as was held in reserve in your places like Fort Knox, against the issuance of money. But the sneaky little insulting slime rewrote the laws so that foreigners could. Now this is going to be a little bit of a new twist for you ones of my own. This is how they got the money exchanged into gold and got it moved completely out of the United States of America. You see, these Federal Reserve notes could be collected in demand of gold. He will get to that. He's into that a little bit now. But it's important for you ones because I'm sorry, I should have watch that closer.
Well, now.
Thank you. I'm continually asked, well, if the gold has been removed from the United States, who did it? Was it the Israelis? No, don't confuse Israel, Jew, Khazar. Don't confuse these as a group. You cannot and still focus on what has happened to your world. They are a group that have now decided to work in. And let's put them aside, because their thrust, half of their thrust, is really their anti-Christ, if you will, anti-God, appeal to the world for dominance. And they're coming at you in one way, from Israel. But they are being utilized as a tool of the international bankers. Always you'll get back to the Rothschild family. Don't confuse the two. We are not bigots. Most of the nationalities have absolutely zero idea of their own history, just as you once do not of America, you of Germany. It doesn't matter where you come from. And certainly the Judaists, who have followed the teachings of God through his servant early on, and then twisted the Bible. But you see, the portions of the Bible that could not be understood, could not be misconstrued. So you have to be very careful in your perception of everything. Do not assume that the Israelis were given the gold. But do know that Israel got a lot of it. And it's sitting in Switzerland. They had to get it out of the continental United States of America. So you ones would not rise up at this time in history where you're coming into knowledge and demand it back under the gun. That's why they want your gun. So that's where and why it went. And it went right through your military bases and your naval bases and was shipped out in large portions, and Fort Knox has no reserve. You could not go on the reserve system backed by gold because there is none left. And you're mining it as fast as you can. That'll go a little way. And some is still being minted to fool you. This is why we have gone through elaborate detail, work and effort, to make available to ones who would like to invest in some gold and allow their money to work now. Let's call it buying a place for you later. I don't know what to call it. Everyone wants perfection. Well, if I invest and put up my gold for collateral, what's in it for me? Well, you may not lose it. You know everywhere else you're going to lose it. It's planned. This is the second alternative, and it will be utilized at any rate, but it is the second alternative to collapse your government instantly. And in that one fell swoop, they will get the world. This is the importance of the American Constitution. There were flaws in the first writing of the Constitution. There was bigotry. There was slavery. And the Native American Indians, everything was taken from them. But there have been amendments. So it's as good a document as there is anywhere in this world. And you see what has happened. The slime has oozed through the cracks, and slowly the camel has gotten in the door. the old joke for your precious grandma. The camel comes to the master's tent and says, well, it's cold out here, brother, and I serve you well. I don't really have to have all me in there. Can I just stick my nose in there? Gee, it's still a little bit cold, master. Could I just put my whole head in there? And then my front legs. Well, I'm telling you now, there's nothing left but the wagging tail. The camel's in the tent and you're out. But until the zipper is closed, you can get back in there. But you see, it's going to be very hard to convince a camel that you can't shove out. You're going to have to turn him around and lead him out. You're going to have to make him want to come back out. So major force, you will just be outforced. You have the Russian KGB and Mossad over here training your police officers now. They will be the police force of the United Nations. Always by the United Nations Charter, headed by a Russian. That is written in the United Nations Charter. You're in serious hot water. This world is in serious hot water. A nice, wondrous, hand-holding world. Does it look like that to anybody? Look at Ethiopia. Look at Bangladesh. These suckers even brought down the wrong plane to Thailand. You're expendable. They want to get rid of you. And I'm not going to take time to rewrite 30 journals. But I would please ask you to bear with, overlook whoever you think I might or might not be. No, I come in light. This is my mission. This is my commission. I and none of my crew intend to do one thing for you except assist you any way we can through word. It is not time for us to show any kind of force. This would cause panic, unbelievable chaos added to the chaos that you already have. We've been photographed with your president, one of them. And I cannot spend enough time catching you up on details. So I have to ask you as visitors to be gracious enough to us to just allow the information to flow until you become comfortable with my presence. And I thank you. Go on. I just wanted to make that point about gold and come into a little bit of introduction.
Thank you.
Public intellectual means
a law that says you have to be a good businessman. When we get into talking about corporations, I want that uppermost in your mind. There is no law that says you have to know what you're doing. In fact, there are a lot of laws that will protect you if you don't. Go ahead, please. Compel performance. And you ones are going to utilize this one a lot. Go on, please. To put TDC, threat, duress, and coercion. If you wish to append that to the end of your signature as if it were MD or DDS, go ahead and do it. But don't write those words on anything that you sign. It is like raising the red flag to the bull. And it is foolish. You will never accomplish what needs to be accomplished in that manner. You play their game. You be as sly as they are. Wisconsin, what he has just said. Obviously, you are going to be, if you are citizens of the continental United States, you are going to be citizens of the state that is sovereign where you are. You have either agreed to that by moving into that sovereignty, or you have been birthed there. So don't misunderstand what he's saying. You are liable for the laws of that state. But we are now talking about a court of law under which you will be tried for breaking that rule. So you're going to deal with statutory rules and illegal courtrooms is what we're going to amount to. Go on, please.
You say, Your Honor,
on this premises somewhere. It also is very lengthy, but it deals with income tax. A lot of very, very good information. So I'll turn the meeting over to Oberle, to one of you. You know why you're here today?
Let me answer that question about Bo Greitz. Bo Greitz and Colonel Simonette, Howard Freeman, anyone else, Rick, that comes to mind.
Eustace
Mullen, are beginning to work as a roadshow, going from place to place, putting on these seminars under the flag of the Center for Action. And that's Bo Greitz's baby. So, that's out of Las Vegas.
That's why it has a reference to him at the end.
Well,
yeah.
The other voice that you heard is Bo.
Oh, okay.
There's some expectation that from time to time George and Desiree
will take part.
Join in that. In that show. Well, the reason that we wanted to display this and get started toward a constitutional operation is that there has been lots and lots of research done. It isn't that we have to invent the ways necessary to get back under the constitutional laws. What has to be done really is an educational process and of putting this whole thing into the context that people can understand it and follow it easily and not goof up too much. Because any little misstep in this whole process causes you to fall right back under statutory law and so forth. Now, this may or may not be terribly palatable to attorneys. I would hope that there are many, many attorneys in the United States who would find it a joy to get back under constitutional law and to have the United States operate constitutionally. The theories of conspiracy and all of those kinds of things have to be dealt with and recognized, or we can't move ahead. But to regain the Constitution requires education of tons and tons of people. And it also requires I think one of the titles of one of the books called You Can Slay the Dragon. In other words, you can slay the dragon if you can cut off his sustenance, and the sustenance of the conspiracy of the Rothschilds and all of their downstream entities is taxes. It's the tax dollar that supports all of that. And to be, you know, we understand that there are certain elements of government that need support and that require taxes, but generally speaking, the tax dollars that are being collected today by the Internal Revenue Service, not one of them, not one dollar, goes to support, say, national defense or those kinds of things that we expect that they go to. All of that money goes, as usury, paid on a national debt that's been created by those conspirators since the late 1700s.
And there's another form of taxation, though, too, which is the indirect taxation of inflation, and that's the other way that people such as that can make their money. It seems to me that the goal is to, the goal which, you know, I certainly don't contest, is getting back under the Constitution and preserving, getting more freedom for people living in this country. The way to accomplish that may be a bit different, or may need to be analyzed. It's good to have people like this present views from outside the legal field, because too often, as in any profession, you get the people who are in the profession with sort of blinders on and looking only a certain way, because that's the way they've been trained, that's the way they've made their livelihood for too long, and sometimes it takes an outsider to come in and look at things, maybe such as this person, Howard Freeman, and to at least start arguing from a different vantage point. And I have to say that I could be wrong on this, and I have not looked at the Uniform Commercial Code in some time, but the possible flaw that I see that needs to be checked out in this whole thing is that Uniform Commercial Code is meant to apply, at least arguably, between merchants. Has he addressed that?
It's addressed elsewhere.
It is elsewhere, because...
This is just a smattering.
Pardon?
This is just a smattering.
Okay. Oh, okay. Because usually the UCC has a limited application to dealings between merchants. If you're dealing with a private citizen vis-a-vis the U.S. government, then it may be arguable that the Uniform Commercial Code does not apply. Now, I have not researched that point. It's the first time I've even thought about it, you know, just seeing this, so I don't know the answer to it. And it sounds like from what you're saying that maybe he already has the answer to that, and I'd be interested in seeing it.
When contested,
mm-hmm.
It is not even the code. It is what you are doing in a courtroom.
Mm-hmm.
Are you acting under common law,
mm-hmm.
criminal law? You see, if you go, as he said, 1 mile above the speed limit,
mm-hmm.
you're criminal. Mm-hmm. So are you being tried on the basis of merchant law, admiralty law,
mm-hmm.
common law? What is your jurisdiction over me, Judge? What you need to be focusing on is whether or not it is to advantage, in some instances, to literally require yourself to be accepted in a court of law to defend that.
Mm-hmm.
You see, this is what originally happened in the municipal court in this very case. And since that's why we're gathered, maybe we should discuss some of these things. When the judge got backed off into a corner, he allowed Oberle to speak a little bit. And he said, well, we were told this was the way to respond. And the judge is going to be magnanimous now, and he's going to shut Mr. Horn's mouth just long enough, because Mr. Horn was jumping up and down. And I think that you who know now Mr. Horn, you know I mean that. He is crimson, and he is jumping up and down. You may not do that. You could do that when you were a lawyer in New York, but now you're a judge and you have these responsibilities, and this form is unacceptable. Well, I believe that I have a right as a judge to tell these people where they went wrong and why they have no case here. So he starts on overly as to what's wrong. And he only allowed Overly to speak. Now the room is filled with people, witnesses. We always made sure there were plenty of witnesses present. This unnerved him, because he put it off till the very end of the day when everyone is completely exhausted, just throw it out.
Mm-hmm.
But it also gave all the witnesses who were going to get their neck in a noose time to leave. And the opposition, if it was going to be heard in any manner at all, would not be up for perjury. It's nice to be able to see inside and outside. The rest of you have to guess. It's very important that every step of this particular case has unfolded exactly as it has. It has been perfection. Annoying, but it has brought a group of people together. You have an opportunity to begin a law center for law. All we need to do is just keep marching along. And we honor those ones who have given us this opportunity. They only seem like your enemy. They're truly your friends. And they bog themselves down. Well, in this particular instance, the judge was getting very frustrated with Overly. And so Doris sits there raising her hand. She knows she can't get up and yell like Mr. Horn. So she keeps raising her hand. And finally the judge said, "You're not here." Well, she didn't quite understand why she wasn't here. And then she did the unforgivable. She kept raising her hand. And she said she didn't want to say very much. Well, but you're not here. You have to understand that I have not opened this case. I'm only allowing Mr. Ecker to make some comment on the paperwork. Well, what is it that you want to say? Recognizing the fact that it has no bearing. And she said, "I just want to know where a citizen can get justice." I said that you're not in this courtroom. I can look right through you. You're not here. So I will not recognize it. Thank goodness she didn't say Constitution, or they would have socked her in the pokey. Because there was another issue, and I won't name names in here because your attorneys will probably want to utilize these ones, and I wouldn't do this to them. He got up. He is a Vietnam crippled man. They managed to get them out of their home on Christmas Day with 9 police officers with assault weapons to evict them, because they were afraid of this little man. He's just a little man. He got up in the courtroom and demanded his constitutional rights, and that judge, Jason Brent, cited him for contempt of court and ordered him to jail. At which point the opposition attorney about passed out. Here you have a man with a wooden leg, I mean a peg leg. And Brent is scared to death of that man for his life. So he's going to put him in jail. And the opposition got up and said, "Your Honor, please, I cannot be responsible for this sort of thing." So they chose not to put him in jail. But on eviction day, they took all these police officers up there with their assault weapons to get them out of the home on Christmas Day, and they have 11 children. That's your justice. You can either take it, or you can be wiser. That's what you've come to. You're not taught that in law school. You're taught exactly what they want you to know in law school. And it won't do any good to argue with them.